Yeah, so honored that we have Maulana Sayyed Muhammad Rizvi Sahab from Toronto, Canada. Most of us knows him. He does not need any introduction, and I introduced a little bit yesterday, but we will continue, inshallah, more introduction as we move on. At this time, I would request Maulana with your loud salawat to come to the member and start the majlis. Yeah.
اب حضرات سے گزارش ہے کہ ایک بار سورہ فاتحہ کی تلاوت فرما کے مرحوم سید قیصر عباس کاظمی، سید نظر حسین و زوجہ، سید اعجاز حسین اور ان کی زوجہ، اور تمام ان کے مرحومین اور حاضرین کے مرحومین الفاتحہ. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القائلون ولا يحصي نعماه العدون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتهدون. الذي بعد فلا يرى وقرب فشهد النجوى تبارك وتعالى. والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء وخاتم المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين سيدنا ونبينا بالقاسم محمد. ولأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين وهب الله عنهم الرزق وطهرهم تطهيرا. واللعنة الدائمة الباقي على أعدائهم ومنكر فضائلهم بغاصب حقوقهم من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: إن الله اصطفى آدم ونوحا وآل إبراهيم وآل عمران على العالمين. صلوات الله عليه وسلم. أزاي سيد الشهداء كسلسلة شروع ہو چکا ہے. یہ وہ سلسلہ ہے جو در حقیقت اس کے ذریعے ہم وہ واجب فرض جو خداوند عالم نے مودت فی القربہ کے عنوان سے ہم پر لاگو کیا ہے، اس کی ادائیگی کا ایک انداز یہی عزائے سید الشہداء ہے. لیکن اس میں جو فوائد ہے ہمارے لیے، اس میں ایک بنیادی مسئلہ یہ ہے کہ جہاں ہم بی بی کی خدمت میں پرسے کے لیے آتے ہیں، ساتھ ساتھ قرآن کا ذکر ہوتا ہے، اہل بیت کے فرامین کا ذکر ہوتا ہے، ان کی سیرت پہ روشنی ڈالی جاتی ہے، اور اس سلسلے عزا مجلس کے عنوان سے جو باتیں ہوتی ہیں، اس سے خود ہماری اصلاح بھی ہوتی ہے انفرادی طور پہ اور اجتماعی طور پہ بھی. اور اسی مقصد کو ذہن میں رکھتے ہوئے جس عنوان کو ہم نے سلیکٹ کیا ہے، اس کا یہ عنوان ہے فیملی لائف ان اسلام. اینڈ آئی ول بی ٹاکنگ اباؤٹ اٹ مور ان انگلش اینڈ دین گوئنگ ٹوورڈز دی اینڈ ان اردو انشاءاللہ. صلوات اللہ محمد. کل ہماری گفتگو فیملی لائف کے حوالے سے شروع ہوئی تھی، where we just presented the importance of family life from the Islamic perspective. And we began with talking about the three elements of peace and tranquility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned for us. Because when we talk about family life, the society consists of families, and the family itself consists of the married couple. And when you look at the institution of marriage, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I created it that لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا، so that you may gain peace and tranquility in that relationship. And one of the elements of peace and tranquility is the issue of مَكَان، And last night I emphasized on this point that we look at the two prevailing lifestyles as far as the family system is concerned. One is the joint family system, which is more prevalent in Asia. And then we looked at the Western family system, which is known as the nuclear family system. And we saw that when it comes to Islam, Islam actually takes the good from both systems and leaves out the negativities. Islam does not promote the joint family system the way it is practiced in Asia, nor does Islam totally agree with the nuclear family system the way it's practiced in the West. We have something in between which is known as the semi-attached, you know, family system, where the houses might be separate, but the hearts of the family members are linked to one another by the principle known as Silat al-Rahim. And that was the emphasis that we had. But before I go with that, let me just talk about, you know, why this subject is important. When we talk about Shiaism, what is the basis of Shiaism? Shiaism means the mazhab which believes in the Ahlul Bayt. And what does the term Ahlul Bayt mean? Ahlul Bayt means the family of the Prophet or the household of the Prophet. And so we actually are followers of a mazhab which is based on the concept of the Holy Family. So for us, this whole concept of family life, family system, this is part of the identity that we have. Even the Azaf Sayyidah Shuhada that we do, Karbala was not a struggle of one individual. Hussein ibn Ali did not go to Karbala alone. He was fully supported by his family, by his relatives and cousins. That you see that the main, you know, group around Hussein ibn Ali were from the Banu Hashim themselves. Salawat upon them. Not only that, if you look at the history of Islam, the very first command about formally inviting people to Islam was given to the Prophet in Surah Shu'ara, where Allah subhanahu near to you in relationship. So Islam, the mission of Islam began with the Prophet first inviting his own family members to Islam before going outside and proclaiming the message of Islam to the others. And this is where we have to realize when we talk about family life and family system, this is in line with the mazhab of Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salatu wasalam. Salawat brother. Just a side point to that, you know, I wouldn't worry about the, you know, the timing tonight. It's a holiday tomorrow, isn't it? Okay, so I don't need to worry about it. You know, in that very first command that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Prophet to formally invite people to Islam, where he says, call your near ones. Ashira. Ashira means khandan, as we say in Urdu. Not necessarily qabila, but ashira. Ashira is a smaller, you know, circle within the qabila. The first time that the Prophet says to them that, if I, you know, give you a news of something, will you believe in me? And they said, yes. Of course, it wasn't that easy. You know, Rasulullah had to invite them three times. The first two times, you know, people like Abu Jahl interrupted the whole proceeding. Didn't allow the Prophet to even convey his message. And the sequence of the gathering was interesting. First there was dinner and then there was the message. And so the dinner was served, and the third time the Prophet was able to convey his message. And he says, would you believe in what I have to say? And they said, yes, we believe in you. And this is where he talks about that I have been sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a messenger to you. He says, Akhi, Ali is my brother. Whether he said it or not, everybody would have to accept it. He was their cousin anyway. The second was Wasi, that he is my Wasi. He is the one who will implement my will after me. Wa khalifati, he is my successor after me. So those two words were more crucial, wasiyyi wa khalifati. And Tabari in the tafsir is trying to dilute there. He keeps the term akhi there because that cannot be denied, but that doesn't really have much of an implication in the religious or the political system. And the other two words, when it comes to wasiyyi wa khalifati, he just puts the words kaba wa kaba, so and so and so and so. And this is where we have to realize, when you study history, you have to look at it carefully. Many, you know, facts are mentioned clearly, but sometimes they dilute it, even if they when they write it, in order to hide the truth about Ali bin Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. So Islam began with this da'wat, formal invitation of Islam given by the Prophet to his own ashira and family. And so it's important for us to look at it, because it is a human issue. It is, every human being is part of a family, and they have to know what is the perspective of Islam as far as family life is concerned. Now, I talked about this issue last night, saying that Islam does not totally agree with joint family system, nor totally, you know, agrees with the nuclear family system. It goes with the middle path. It is Sirat al-Mustaqim. Islam takes the positive elements from the joint family system and the separate family system and gets rid of the negativity from both sides. The example I presented to you was this ayat from Surah Nur, which is Surah number 24, ayat 16. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listed about the houses of 8 to 9 relatives. And he says, you are allowed to go to those homes without any formality, without even a permission. You don't need an invitation, if you, let me put it this way. You don't need an invitation to go to those 8 to 9 houses of your relatives in order to eat there. And that is that ayat, when you look at it, what we are being told, that, you know, your houses could be separate. You do not necessarily have to live under the same roof. But in spite of the separation of your households, you should see, you still be so close to one another in silatul rahim, which means that there should be no takallufat, no formality in going and visiting one another, and even having dinner with one another. Salawat wa ikbar. In the list, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began by wa buyutikum, your own houses. And then he says, the houses of your fathers, and then he says, the houses of your mothers. One of the youths asked this question, why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, separating the house of the father and the house of the mother? Well, Islam deals with all possibilities. You know, normally we would say, okay, father and mother live together. But there are cases where, you know, things don't work out and they don't live together. Remember that talaq and divorce is between the husband and wife, not between parents and children. Even if the divorce happens, still the children are connected to both of them. And so that is where the, you know, one scenario, Quran talks about it, that they would have separate houses. You know, there are also other possibilities. Another question which I got yesterday from one of the mu'min was that Mawlana, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't talk about the houses of the sons. So are the parents allowed to go just to the house of their, you know, sons or daughters without any formality or invitation? Well, if you look at it, we talked about the example of Hadith Kisa. What was the situation of Hadith Kisa? The father goes to the house of the daughter. Did he ask permission, or did he send a message to Ali, can I come and visit my daughter? There's nothing like that. There was no formality, there's no need to, you know, even Ali comes inside, he didn't know that the Prophet is already there. And so you already have this answer to that question is in Hadith Kisa. You know, if a parent can go to the house of the daughter, definitely he can go to the house of the son also. But as I said, in all cases, in all examples, always maintain, at least, you know, give a call so that they know, or if they are there or not. Otherwise, you will come back and the house will be closed anyway. And so we have to do our own, you know, what do you call, you know, the protocol has to be followed. But Islam says that you can have separate house without any issue of formalities and invitation to go and visit one another. Salawat upon Iqbal. Let me give you one more example. Amir al-Mu'mineen, during his last days in years in Kufa, especially the last Ramadan in which he was killed. You hear this narration that during the month of Ramadan, Amir al-Mu'mineen had divided his days for iftar between his children. One day he would go to the house of Imam Hassan. Another day he would go to the house of Imam Hussein. A third day he would go to the house of Zainab and Abdullah. It means that although they were very close to one another, maybe even neighbors, but their houses were separate. And even the arrangement of their own living, you know, food and everything was separate. And this is where we have to realize that Islam is not talking about that everybody should be necessarily under the same roof, but silatul rahim has to be maintained. And this is the example of the father dividing his iftar, you know, among his, you know, adult, you know, married children. Not only that, there is one incident very interesting at the same time in Kufa, where the day of Ghadir happened to be on the day of Jummah. And Amir al-Mu'minin, on that day when he gave the khutbah, he says, today is the day of Eidain Kabirain. Two major Eids. One is Jummah on a weekly basis, and the other is Ghadir. Actually, we consider Ghadir to be Al-Eid al-Akbar. And on that day, we see the narration that after the Namaz Jummah was finished, Amir al-Mu'mineen and his sons and some companion, you know, close companions of Amir al-Mu'mineen, all together then went to the house of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba to have food in his house. And this is where we see this closeness that, you know, unke ghar alag the, wo ek chhat ke niche nahi rehte the, unke ghar ke aur family ke intizamat alag alag the. لیکن الگ مکان ہے ہونے میں کوئی قباحت نہیں ہے اس لیے صلت الرحمی کے ذریعے وہ برتاؤ رہنا چاہیے لگاؤ رہنا چاہیے تکلفات نہ ہوں ایک دوسرے کے آنے میں کوئی تکلف اور پرابلم نہیں ہونا چاہیے صلوات پڑھنے ایک بار Let me move on further tonight. This was just re-emphasizing the point that I made last night. The biggest challenge actually happens, as the Quran says, آباؤكم وابناؤكم لا تدرون أيهم أقرب لكم نفعا. Surah Nisa, ayat number 11. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yes, I have put human beings in test and trial. You know, when the children grow up and get married, those married children now have a challenge there. There is an imtihan. They look at their parents on one side and their own family and children on the other side. And sometimes there are tensions. And this is where the duty of the adult child now is to maintain what is known as balance in the relationship between the parents on one side and his own family. And this is where what I call it the semi-attached family system. I used this term last night, that Islam prefers this. Islam doesn't say this is wajib. It means that sometimes, yes, maybe the parents and the adult son, for example, married son would be living together in one house. Because the scenarios, the circumstances of, you know, people are not all the same, they are different. So there might be a situation where there are old parents who cannot live on their own, they need somebody to take care of them. And if one or the other son or the daughter is willing to, you know, take care of them, they can live under the same roof, there is no hurmat there. And therefore my emphasis last night was that Islam prefers this, which means you still have other alternatives there, as long as you maintain the adl and ta'adul and balance in the relationship with both generations. Salawat Parnaik Baha. Maybe it's important for me to emphasize this point, and these are very, very general remarks. I think parents also have to realize that when their children get married, they have to basically give some breathing space to their young, married children, so that they can actually create this strong bond between themselves. They need some own privacy, their own time together. And that is where the relationship will become stronger. You cannot look at them as before. Before it was you and them, for example, your son or your daughter. But once they are married, now they are attached with somebody else. And you basically have to become like the bagban. You have to become the gardener. I'm sure here you have gardening, although it's very hot here. If you look at your backyard, and once you try to plant a new, plant there in your garden, and if there, you will always see, well, if I planted something before there, you will look at the measure and the distance between the two plants which are there. Is there enough room there or not? Because the new plant needs, space to grow, to become stronger, so that even the sunlight can come there. And this is where we have to realize that, once the children get married, you have to give them that space, breathing space for them to know one another, to strengthen their relationship. And so interaction is not a problem at all. But remember, there is something known as interference. That is the problem. So interaction is necessary. Not only that, it's necessary. The young couple now who are starting their own life should feel comfortable that whenever they have issues and problems or seek that guidance, they can very easily refer to their parents and seek guidance from them. So that is the Salatul Rahmi that we are talking about. So there has to be a very meaningful and loving interaction between the parents and the young married children, but it should not be in a way that it suffocates their relationship. Because you, after all, are parents, you are looking for the betterment of your own children. Salawat. But let me end with the emphasis on the other side. When the children grow up and they have their own family, the challenge of how to deal with the parents, especially in their old age. Quran actually has emphasized this more than the issue of taking care of the children. Not that Islam doesn't give importance to the rights of children. No, Quran doesn't talk that much about the rights of the children the way it talks about the rights of the parents, especially when they become old. And the reason is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the elements of love and care in the hearts of the father and mother, and more in the hearts of the mothers. And since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done this by the natural process, He doesn't need to send a hukum about it. Is there an ayat in Quran which says mother must feed the baby? There is no hukum which says that. Even if a woman didn't know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is part of her natural instinct given to her by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that when the child is born, she will feed the child. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of things by the process of nature, He doesn't need to legislate it in the laws. And so when it comes to the issue of taking care of the children, there was no need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to talk about it that much because already the elements of love and caring in the hearts of the parents is there for their own children. But when you reverse the situation, the children grow up, they become independent. The parents now become old. In Surah Yasin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when we give, you know, long life to people, we reverse them physically. So those parents who were taking care of their children, and now that the children have grown up, the parents now are becoming old, they are becoming weak, they now depend on the children. And that is where we see that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about that issue more strongly in the Quran. And I would like to share with you four ayat on this issue. Salawat alaykum. Allah. When it comes to the issue of being kind and merciful, to be helpful towards the parents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has linked that with one of the most fundamental teachings of Islam. You know, sometimes when you want to relate something which is whose importance is not known, then you always compare it to something else. For example, you know, oil. We call it, sometimes we say this is black gold. Is it really gold? Gold is solid, oil is liquid. You know, gold has a different color, it shines. Oil is something else, it is black. But the reason why we call this black gold is to show the value of it. And you compare it with something which is obviously known. Gold is very valuable in the eyes of the people, so you relate oil to gold. And this is the style that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses when He talks to us. Because He is looking at our psychology that He has created, our nafsiyat, our way of thinking. And so what He does is, in order to emphasize the point of, you know, being kind and merciful to the old parents especially, He relates that issue with Tawheed. Tawheed is the fundamental teaching of Islam. If you don't have Tawheed, Islam is no more there. This concept of only worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Four places in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has combined the issue of being kind with the parents to the issue of Tawheed. The first is Surah Baqarah 83, where He says, وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. He says, remember when we took the covenant with the Israelis, with the children of Israel. What was the covenant with Bani, with the Jewish community? Number one, لَا تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. You will not worship anyone but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is after that? وَلَا تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ أَحْسَانًا. Do not worship anyone but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be kind to your parents. Immediately after Tawheed of Allah, He says, you know, be kind to the parents, وَزِلْ قُرْبَى and the relatives, وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ, the orphans and the poor, وَقُولُ لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا, and say good words to the people when you talk to them. وَعَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةُ وَعَاتُ الزَّكَاةِ. The issue of namaz, the issue of charity comes later on. Between Tawheed and namaz, He is talking about being kind to parents first. This is where we have to realize, even the sequence of the items that Allah mentions sometimes, you have to pay attention to that. So this is the first ayah from Surah Baqarah. Surah Nisa. Surah number 4, ayah number 36. Again He says, وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. Worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do not associate anyone in the divinity and worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And be kind to your parents. Here ihsan is not the ihsan in Urdu. Ihsan in Arabic means husn-e-suluk. to have this good, you know, behavior towards your parents. And then the ayat goes on, وَبِذِ الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَ وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْجَارِ ذِ الْقُرْبَى, your relatives who is your neighbor, and the other neighbors who are not your relatives, and those who are stranded travelers, and the ayat goes on. The third example, Surah An'am, ayat number 151, where he says, قُلْ تَعَالَوْ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing our Prophet that say to the people, تَعَالُوا, come to me, أَتْلُ مَا حَرَّمَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ, I'm going to describe to you what my Lord has forbidden to you. And the very first command, أَلَّا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا, do not associate anything with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His divinity. There is only one Rabb. There is only one God. Not multiple gods. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, and be kind to your parents. And do not kill your children out of the fear of, you know, you don't have the resources. And the ayat goes on about other issues there. But finally, the fourth example that I would like to concentrate on is from Surah Isra, which is Surah number 17, ayat 23 to 24. And this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is emphasizing, and openly He talks about the situation where now you are grown up, you have your own family, your wife and children, and then you have the parents who are old. And they are old in a sense, they need you. And in this Surah Bani Israel, or Surah Isra, that's the other name for it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ. قَضَى رَبُّكَ means Allah has enjoined, He has given you the command. To do what? أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّا, that you will not worship anyone but Him. So again, the Tawheed comes first. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, and be kind to your parents. Then he elaborates there, verse says, وَإِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرْ عِهْدَاهُمَا وَكِلَاهِمَا, and remember, if they reach to the old age, whether one of them or both of them, عِنْدَكَ, and they are with you, then what should you do? There are three commands that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us about that. In the other three ayat, He just says, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, be kind to your parents. Here He is actually now giving us these steps, how to be kind to them. Number one, فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَ أُفٍّ. The first point is the language that you use with them. And I'm not talking about English or Urdu or Spanish. It means the way you talk to them. It is your language. فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَ أُفٍّ, do not even say ah to them. And when you say ah, it happens sometimes when the parents become old, sometimes they might become irritating for you. It is human nature. Sometimes you might not even have done anything, and they will scold you for it. It's not your fault. How do you react to it? Or sometimes they say, okay, you know, I need this. My medication has, you know, I finished them. And you say, why didn't you tell me yesterday? I'd gone to the pharmacy. Or you say, ah, kya musibat hai. Even if you don't say kya musibat hai, ah, that one word, ah, uff. In the words of Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, he says in Arabic language, if there was any word more lighter than uff, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have used that one. So even if you find yourself in a situation which might be irritating to you, maybe you are not even at fault, you have to maintain your own, you know, akhlaq. You have to be patient there. Do not, وَفَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍ, do not even say to them uff. وَلَا تَنْحَرْهُمَا, don't chide to them when you talk to them. جڑک کے بات مت کرو ان کے ساتھ. وَقُلْ لَهُمَ قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. And whenever you talk to them, be kind with them. So the first point is the language, Zaban. The second point is the body language. I'm just explaining these in our own modern, you know, way of understanding it. Body language is also very important. It's not only an issue of saying "uff." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحُ الظُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. And lower your wings of humility out of mercy for them. It's a very poetic way that you have to show physically your humility towards them. And this is very important, that it's not only the language has to be correct, when you are talking about ihsan, being good to the parents, even your bodily language has to reflect. And number three, وَقُلْ رَبِّ رَحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. And always pray for them, in their life as well as after their death. And this is where we do in the Qunut. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and look at the words even there. The words have been given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where we address Him as Rabb. Who is Rabb? Rabb is the one who is nourishing us, providing for us. Therefore we call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Rabbul Alameen. So we are addressing Him and saying, Rabbi, or O my provider and nourisher, Irhamhuma, have mercy on my parents, kama rabbayani, just as they nourished me when I was saghir and a child. It's interesting that Allah is the Rabb, and even the parents are doing the function of rabbayani. And this is where we have to realize that, you know, sometimes, of course, the parents don't become Rabb. But when Allah does the nourishing, He doesn't do it directly. He nourishes us, provides for us through the wasila, and the wasila are our parents. Salawat upon them. So these four ayat that I presented to you, with the fourth one emphasizing from Surah Bani Israel, on the details that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us, just think about it. Namaz is wajib, isn't it? We have to do every day. Do you see the details of namaz in Quran? Do you have the number of rakat in the Quran? Fajr is 2 rakat, Zuhr is 4, no? Are the recitation of surahs mentioned in the Quran, what do you recite? Is the way of doing ruku and sujood described? Nothing. The details of the namaz have not been mentioned. But when it comes to the details of how you communicate and interact with your old parents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the details in the Quran. This is where you have to realize that this is a very important issue. Your language, your body language, and your sentiments and feelings in form of prayers have to be there, reflecting the concept of ihsan, which means husni suluk, and to be good to the parents. Salawat upon them. Let me end with one more example from the Quran. All this emphasis that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making in the Quran about being kind to the parents, is there a condition there? Does it apply only to the parents who are mu'min and good? Or does it also apply to the parents who are not even Muslims? Majority